Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Luke's Gospel. And we're going to turn this morning to Luke chapter 2 for our scripture reading. And we are so thankful to the Lord for what He's done for us and want to make sure that you have an outline. If you didn't receive one, there should be one nearby you there. And you can follow along with that as well as we turn to Luke chapter 2 for our scripture reading this morning. This morning's message is entitled Christmas Worship. And we want to speak about the subject of worship and how we can worship the Lord more effectively this week and also into the new year as well. Luke chapter 2, let's begin reading this morning in verse number 7, and we'll read down through verse number 18. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heavens, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you today for the infallible word of God. And we thank you, even as we heard the song a moment ago, nothing but the blood of Jesus. We thank you that because of the virgin birth, the blood that was shed is efficacious to cover the sins of the world. And we ask today that you would help us to worship you and to adore your name for that great offering that you made provision of on that first Christmas, but also at Calvary. And so, Lord, fill our hearts with gratitude, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, there was a young family that was going home for Christmas, and so they had everything packed in the car. They had their mail delivery stopped, their newspaper delivery stopped. They had the car all washed up. They had a new antifreeze placed into the car, and they had a neighbor taking care of the dog. They had gifts for their parents, for their aunts, for their uncles. They had everything ready to go. All of their suitcases were just right. The husband was in the car seat, put on a little Christmas music, put the car in reverse, backed out of the driveway, and as they were beginning to go down the road, his wife suddenly said, Honey, we forgot the baby. By the way, how many of you ever did that when you were raising your kids? Anybody else, or am I the only one? Honey, we forgot the baby. And you know, many people during this Christmas season are forgetting the baby. They're forgetting that Christmas is about a child, the Christ child that came down to us. And our purpose this morning is to pause in the middle of all of the busyness of this season and to remember the Christ child, to remember the baby that was born that we might live. We're here to lift him up. We're here to worship him this morning. Now, worship is an act of a reverent heart. In the New Testament, many times worship was displayed by those who would bend the knee or perhaps even prostrate themselves down below on the ground as they prayed to God, making homage unto God. They would pay respect by such external actions. They were giving reverence to a supreme being. Some have defined the word worship as to kiss toward, to show respect or reverence toward. And worship is something that is seen throughout the Christmas story. We see it in Matthew 2 and verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down
and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so this morning, like the shepherds, like the angels of old, and like those wise men who gave the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, we also gather today to worship and to honor the Lord for all that he has done for us. And I want you to notice with me this morning three truths about worship. As we enter this special week, this worshipful week, which will be finalized with a great Christmas Eve service this coming Friday evening. But as we enter this week, let's notice three ways that we must worship the Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, that worship is based upon the Scriptures. Our worship is not something that goes from emotion to truth, but we move from truth to emotion. There's nothing wrong with emotion in worship, so long as it is based upon the truth. And we want to notice that real worship always begins with truth. It always comes from the truths of the Scriptures. And we see this truth beginning in verse number 7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, the truth of the Scriptures, even 700 years prior to this, was telling about the coming of the Christ child. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." And the Bible says, "Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. This was the scriptural basis for the worship. This was the reason for the rejoicing, was that God's revelation was being fulfilled. And this scriptural revelation came from a special messenger. We notice this messenger there in verse number 9, the angel of the Lord. And for those of you that have studied this phrase or this name, the angel of the Lord, you know that this is not a mere angel. This is a special visible appearance of the Lord Jesus himself, sometimes referred to as a Christophany. It is the Lord Jesus here who is speaking to these shepherds, even whilst he is also in the Bethlehem manger, which teaches us of the doctrine of the omnipresence of Christ. And by the way, if he could not be in the manger while he spoke to the shepherds, how can he be here with us while he's with the saints in China at the same time? It is only possible because he is God. Jesus Christ is omnipresent, and here we see that this messenger is none other than Christ himself, the angel of the Lord. And he appeared to Joseph prior to this, and he told Joseph to take Mary unto him as his wife. Matthew 1:20, the Bible says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost." And so we see a very special messenger, and the messenger is the angel of the Lord. But we also see this morning a very special message. We see the message that is given in verse number 10, which says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now here we see that it is a message of assurance, and we saw this last week. Fear not. And we noticed last week that this phrase, fear not, is found 59 times in the Bible. And many of those times around this Christmas story, we hear the words, fear not. And every time the angel would give the greeting in the Christmas story, he would begin by saying, fear not. And we can understand that because no doubt it would have been startling, not only the news that was being given, but the presence of the angel of the Lord, or Gabriel in some cases, would have been overwhelming to any of us as well. And our world today is full of fear. And many have fears about jobs and safety and protection and their future. And we have said for the last few years here at Lancaster Baptist Church, when it comes to health issues and all of the challenges that we hear about in the news, that our motto is that we're going to be careful but not fearful. There's nothing wrong with taking precaution and being careful with respect to your health, but we don't want to become so fearful that we cease to worship and serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I believe these words, fear not, are very applicable to the church even this morning. In fact, our president this past week, in an attempt maybe to encourage, it wasn't very encouraging, announced that this will be the winter of death, he said. This is going to be the winter of death, and trying to talk to people about health issues and so forth. How many of you understand that when a president makes such a statement, it sends a rippling effect of fear across the masses? And I'm thankful today that the Word of God does not tell me to fear. The Word of God tells me, fear not. Fear not. And ladies and gentlemen, God has called us in this day to live with a spirit that is not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. And so this is a message of assurance, but it's also a message of acceptance. This is the message that says God loves you and you and you and you, and He loves the whole world, and that God will accept this world through His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 10, it says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Notice this phrase, good tidings, meaning good news, to announce glad tidings. It is the word from which we understand the gospel. And we thank God today that the gospel is good news for all people. The angel introduced the birth of Christ as good news and great joy for everyone. The Bible says in Isaiah 45 and 22, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I love the phrase in that Isaiah passage, all the ends of the earth. How many of you are thankful that the gospel is a whosoever gospel? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that includes people from all over the different corners of the earth. And this special message is a message of assurance, yes, but it's also a message of acceptance. God is saying to this world, I love you. I sent my son, Jesus, to die for you ultimately upon the cross. And I was thinking about this past week, this amazing, accepting love of God. And I emailed out to some of our missionaries and I said, hey, send me a picture of your services this past week. And several of them did. Here's, I think, Brother Ryan Struther from England. Here's a graduate of West Coast Baptist College, he and his wife, with their church there in London. And what are they doing there? They are celebrating this morning the accepting news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the Freidensteins over in El Salvador. This is a graduate of West Coast Baptist College. This is a ministry that we have helped along the way and support. And what are they doing? They are celebrating that Christ is born. They are celebrating, verse 10, the good tidings of great joy. Brother Pridgen over in Uganda, whom we have supported for many, many years, what are they doing in Uganda? They are celebrating the good tidings of great joy. Brother Tate, one of our graduates in Honduras today, what are they doing there? They are celebrating the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's Brother Balu over in Thailand. And what are they doing in Thailand this morning? They are celebrating this good news that has gone to all of the world, and this good news which shall be to all people. And then I just wanted to take a minute, in case you're frustrated here with all the COVID news, and I want you to see our good friend down in Costa Rica, Brother Ed Bordell, and as they're coming to church this morning, and I want you to see a little bit of their process of getting there.
Here we are. Typical protocol. As you come in, you have to spray the mat. Then everything has to be wiped off. Then they come, get the sanitizer. Then they move into the auditorium. And everyone's registered in order to get a seat, be accommodated. And then once you're seated, you're not allowed to get up and have fellowship. See the plexiglass around the pulpit up there, and we continue with the same protocol. We have to do this.
I just had to share that with you this morning to show you what some of our friends are doing in different places and so forth. But here's the point, by the way, how many of you are glad we didn't spray your feet on the way in this morning? That may be coming, I don't know. But here's the deal. All of these different places of the world, celebrating that Jesus Christ was born. Every one of these places hearing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Worship is based on the scripture. And what does the scripture say in verse 10? I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. How many of you believe that prophecy is being fulfilled through the New Testament missions program today? People all around the world are coming to Christ. Worship is based on the scripture. But notice secondly with me this morning, worship must be focused on the Savior. Worship must be focused on the Savior. The Bible teaches in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now here we see the message of the deliverance of Christ. Because Jesus is referred to here as the Savior, which means the deliverer, the preserver. He is the Savior of the world. And there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And you know, there was a day in America when people understood biblical terms, and one of them was the term saved. And that's a term that many do not understand today. But in order to understand the power of the word saved, we must all realize that we are lost without Jesus Christ, and that we all fall short of the glory of God, but that Jesus Christ came, was born in Bethlehem, lived a perfectly sinless life, and then shed his blood upon the cross in order that we might have the covering for our sin, in order that we might be preserved or saved from hellfire, yes, but also saved unto eternity with God in heaven. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as gold and silver from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In other words, the scripture is clear. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You're not saved by giving gold or silver. You're not saved by doing good works. You're not saved by becoming a Baptist. You're not saved because you give money to the church. There is one way of salvation, and that is by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And a little while ago, I was talking to Brother Dennis. He said, would it be all right if I sang this song about the blood of Jesus Christ this morning? Oh, listen, the songs of the blood of Christ are so appropriate at Christmas time, because we would not have the precious blood of Jesus Christ were it not for the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And so this blood that was shed covers the sins of all who believe. I heard about a little boy that was writing a letter to Santa Claus. He said, dear Santa, there are three little boys who live at our house. There is Jeffrey, he is 2. There is David, he is 4. And there is Norman, he is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good some of the time. But Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman. Now, let me tell you something. No one here this morning is so good that they do not need a Savior. There are no Normans here. There's not even a real Norman in real life. There is no one that is good all the time. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that is why Jesus Christ came. And that is why Jesus Christ shed his blood, so that we might have the covering for our sin, that we might have a deliverer for our sin. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, some people say, I don't believe in a God that would send anyone to hell. My friend, God sent his only Son so that you would have a way of escape. God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to pay the price for our sin. We see this morning the deliverance of Christ in the word Savior. He came to deliver us from our sin. He came to deliver people, no matter where they live, no matter who they are, he will deliver them from their sin. I see the deliverance of Christ, but I want you to notice also the direction to Christ. I'm glad that God is always pointing the way to his Son, Jesus. The Bible says in verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, sometimes people need signs. We need directional signs. Unless you're a man driving, you need no signs at all. You just follow your instinct. But Sometimes we actually do need a sign to show us. And here we see the directional sign. The angel gave the shepherds a sign with respect to how to identify Christ. And the Bible tells them that they would find this child in Bethlehem. We know that this would be a sign. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. This city of Bethlehem, the word Bethlehem, of course, means the house of bread. This place was a prophesied place, Micah 5 and 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So God prophesied this place of Bethlehem. God tells us that in this place called the house of bread, the Savior would be born. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. John chapter 6 and verse 35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But what I'm thankful for this morning is that God is always giving directions to his son, Jesus Christ. By the way, he's still giving directions today. You walk into a mall, you might hear a song like, Silent Night, Holy Night. Sometimes people receive from this church a gospel tract. Sometimes people hear something on the radio. God is still giving signs for those who are looking for his son. God is speaking to people and speaking into even this country today. And what does the sign tell us in verse number 12? You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. We know that he is in this city or town of Bethlehem. He is in a stable because there is no room in the inn. Christ was content with the stable when he was born so that we could have a mansion when we die. Jesus was there in Bethlehem. He was there in this stable. He is specifically stated in verse 12 to be in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This was the sign that was given. The Son of God, the Deliverer, the King of kings and Lord of lords is to be found according to this prophecy, according to this Christophany. He is to be found in Bethlehem, in a stable, specifically in a manger, surrounded no doubt by animals, by the smell of those animals. This is how we see the humility of our Lord, him condescending to our low estate. I heard of a boy that got a hamster for Christmas, and his room smelled so bad, but the hamster got used to it after a while, but it was difficult. And Jesus was laid in this manger, this smelly, stinky place, in order that we might be able, in order that the shepherds might be able to see the love of God on their behalf. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 really sums this up. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. He became poor for us, that we might be made rich. He was laid in the manger, that we might have a mansion. This is the wonderful message of Christmas. We see the deliverance of Christ. He is the Savior. We see the direction to Christ. You'll find him in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. But notice the display of worship that bursts forth in verse 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now here we see the angelic host, and the Bible says there is a multitude of them. There is a large assemblage of angels now. And as soon as this message is given by Christ himself, this Christophany we mentioned a moment ago, they burst into angelic praise, this great assembly. And I'll tell you what, if you like music and if you like worshipful music, you're going to love heaven because there's going to be singing for all of eternity to the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, even if you don't like good music, and even if you don't say amen at church, you're going to love it in heaven, and you'll probably be saying amen up in heaven too. Because it seems to be that when Christ is present, and when his revelation is given, there is spontaneous worship that bursts forth from the angelic beings. We read of it in Revelation 5:11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them, listen to the size of this choir, was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Here is a choir of great number, thousands. Here is a choir that never grows weary. Here is a choir that never needs a throat lozenge. Here is a choir that spends eternity singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for our sin." Oh, this angelic praise. Verse 14 tells us the words of their song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Hebrews 1 and verse 6 says, "And again, when he bringeth forth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." You see, worship is the spontaneous response of someone who is adoring Christ, someone who's realizing that this is God come down in the flesh, in the manger, that you might have a mansion. What is the response to that? The response is, glory to God in the highest. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what your trouble or burden might be this morning, but a new understanding of the Christmas story will always lift that burden when you really consider what Christ has done for you. Worship is based on the Scripture. Worship is always focused on the Savior. But notice finally this morning, worship is always continued in service. You know, we live in a funny day in the American Christian church. People oftentimes say to me, "Do you have praise and worship at your church?" And what they're talking about is music, sometimes a specific genre of music. And they have relegated praise and worship specifically to the music. But I want to give the case this morning that when we open the Bible and preach as I'm doing now, we're actually worshiping right now. And when we give the offering, we're worshiping. And even when we sing, and even when we go out soul winning, when we serve the Lord Jesus, all of these are acts of worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that principle as we close this morning. First of all, we'll see the shepherds worshiping, and they definitely are worshiping Christ in the sense of from their heart. The Bible tells us in verse number 16, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." I want you to notice the shepherds, they're searching for Christ. They had heard this news. The Bible says they sought out the Christ. Psalm 111 verse 2, "The works of the Lord are great, sought out of them that have pleasure therein." Someone that is saved, they want to get closer to Jesus. They want to know more about Jesus. They want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says they saw the Christ in verse number 16. And the Bible tells us they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, verse 17. "And when they had seen it," this was a joy, no doubt, in their heart to see the Lord. Matthew 1 and 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. You see, Christmas is about God coming near to us. Christmas is about God with us. And these shepherds, though they were common men, Jesus had come in such a way and in such a place that he was not unreachable to them, but they could understand and they could see and they could sense the love of God even in this place. And so we see the shepherds coming to Christ and wanting to be with him. And I'm telling you, there's something wrong with a professing Christian that doesn't want to gather around the Word of God. It should be our heart to say, "I want to know more about him. I want to get around the truth of Jesus and sit at the feet of Jesus Christ." And so they came and they saw him, and no doubt their hearts were filled with worship. But this is what I want you to see when we think about the scope of worship. The shepherds not only worshiped him personally there at the manger, but the shepherds witnessed for him. Notice in verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Here we see the shepherds, they came to worship, but they went out to witness. And you see, when we truly are excited and rejoicing over what Jesus has done and over what Jesus has given and over who Jesus is, then we should want to go and make this known, whether it's to a friend or a neighbor, whether it's through a soul winning program or a Christmas presentation. It is our desire to make known to someone else what Jesus Christ has done. Psalm 66 and verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Oh, telling others about the Savior is a great and a wonderful privilege. And I'm so thankful that a shepherd, a working man with calloused hands, a man that smelled like the land and like the animals, I'm so glad that God shows us here that he can use shepherds. How many of you believe if God could use a shepherd, he can use any one of us to tell someone else about Jesus Christ? Any one of us, anytime, anywhere. God wants us to be ready always to give an answer to every man regarding the hope that is within us. He wants us not only to be here this morning to worship, but to be ready to go out and to worship through the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn, if you would, quickly to Matthew chapter 28. Let me show you something before we close. Just a wonderful passage. Matthew 28, verse 16. Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, what does it say? They what? They worshiped him. Again, they would have knelt perhaps, or they would have prostrated themselves down. They showed reverence to him. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. By the way, there will always be doubters. Don't let them get you down. They worshiped him. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, what do we see here? We're beginning to see a pattern. We see shepherds coming and worshiping and gazing at the Christ child. And as they gaze at the Christ child, they leave that place and they make known abroad what they have seen. What do we see in the early church? They came and they saw the resurrected Christ. They came and they worshiped him. No doubt their hearts were overwhelmed to see the nail prints in his hands and to realize that this is the risen Christ. And they worshiped him. But what did Jesus say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And what is the pattern? The pattern is simply this. Come and worship. Go and witness. Come and worship. Go and witness. And a lot of the modern day church is okay with a certain measure of the worship, but they're forgetting that that worship is translated into service if it's true worship. And so we come and worship and we go and witness. Let's say that together. Come and worship, go and witness. Come and worship, go and witness. And when we witness, we are worshiping the Lord through our service. I read this past week that Ty Warner, who is the owner of the Beanie Babies company. How many of you ever got a Beanie Baby or gave Beanie Babies at some point in your life? Let's see where the Beanie Baby people are, okay? Ty Warner, he owns the Four Seasons Hotel in New York City and in Santa Barbara. He's a multi-billionaire, a testimony to capitalism, I guess. The baby beanie guy made it big. But I was reading this past week that even the baby beanie guy was held up with all of the supply chain issues that we've been facing during this inflationary period. In fact, there were boatloads of Beanie Babies stuck in China just a few weeks ago. Now, this is an emergency problem. Some of you are laughing. This is really a problem. And I guess, as I was reading, they don't just make Beanie Babies. They make all kinds of other products as well. So Ty Warner chartered 150 flights at a cost of $1.5 million a flight to go all the way to China to pick up Beanie Babies, to bring them to America. And he was really proud of the fact he didn't raise the price for the Beanie Babies just to be in the spirit of the season. He said just to make sure that enough product got to America. He spent $1.5 million on 150 different flights to get Beanie Babies to the children. May I propose to you that every dollar we spend to print a gospel tract, every dollar we spend for that Kid City building, every moment we spend in telling someone about Jesus Christ is infinitely more important than giving a Beanie Baby at Christmas? And if the world deems it so important to bypass the shipping docks and to fly over and get some Beanie Babies from China to put them on the shelves of toy stores, how much more so should we as believers this week, as a part of our worship, not only come and adore Him, but go and tell someone about Him? Christ, the Savior, is born. Worship is always based on the Scripture of the Word of God. It must be that we move from truth to emotion, not from emotion to truth, but from truth to emotion. Worship is always focused on the Savior, the one who came down and died for our sin, whose blood covers our sin. And I ask you this morning, are you saved? Do you know Him to be your personal Savior? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Because this is why He came. And worship, if it is true, will always be focused on Christ. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to make much of Jesus Christ. And the ministry of the church is to lift Him up as the preeminent one. Do you know Him as your Savior? And then worship will only continue when we go out from this place having looked at the Word, having seen the Christ child, when we go out from this place and serve Him and witness for Him and continue a life of faithfulness to Him, it is an extension of our worship in this place. And God wants us not to merely worship Him on Sunday mornings. He wants us to worship Him in every day and in every way that is possible. And I want to encourage you today that you would spend time each morning this week opening the Word, focusing on the Savior. But then as you walk out the doors of your home, don't let the worship stop right there, but let the worship continue as you, like the shepherds, make known abroad that Jesus Christ has been born, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the deliverer, the Savior of all who will believe on Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, say it with me, shall be saved. Let's stand together, shall we?